Southern Gaza Tuesday to attack Hamas militants, even as international aid organizations express concern Palestinians seeking refuge in the region do not have a haven from the conflict. Israeli tanks and troops moved near Khan Yunis, a southern city that is second largest on the Gaza Strip, when Israeli aerial attacks hit southern Gaza. Warnings from the Israeli military in recent days urged people in multiple Khan Yunis neighborhoods to evacuate for their safety, directing them to areas further south. A new warning Tuesday told people to stay away from the Salah al-Din, the main north-south corridor. UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees Director Thomas White said Israel ordered about 600,000 people to leave the neighborhoods where fighting could ensue. But in a post on the social media network X, he said the evacuation could drive them to Rafah, along the southern border with Egypt, where the new refugees could double the number of displaced already sheltering in the city. The World Health Organization said Tuesday, as a result of Israel's intensified bombing in the south, the situation in Gaza is deteriorating by the hour. WHO Gaza representative Richard Pieperkorn told reporters via video link the health system infrastructure in Gaza is crippled.
I think we are close by humanity's darkest hour. And this has been the message, I think, from WHO, the UN in general. This bombings and I would say and senseless loss of life must stop now. I mean, we need a sustained ceasefire.
At the same news briefing, UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, spokesman James Elder said the areas of Gaza designated as safe by Israel were nowhere near meeting basic requirements, warning that absence of sanitation and shelter there have created a perfect storm for a disease outbreak. You'll find additional stories 24 hours a day on our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. A funeral was held in Tanzania's Hanang District Monday for the victims of deadly floods and landslides caused by extreme weather that has caused chaos across East Africa since seasonal rains began in October. Reuters correspondent David Doyle has more.
Floods and landslides have killed dozens here, adding to the hundreds of deaths caused by extreme weather across East Africa since seasonal rains began in October. At a funeral in Hanang District on Monday, Tanzania's Prime Minister Kassim Majaliwa said the death toll had risen above 60. He added that more than 100 people had been injured and that a landslide had destroyed half of one village he had visited. A spokesperson for President Samia Suluhu Hassan's office said floods and landslides across the northern Manyara region had affected 5,600 people and destroyed 750 acres of farmland. Hassan is expected to shorten her trip to the COP28 climate talks to oversee Tanzania's disaster response.
That's Reuters correspondent David Doyle reporting. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu Tuesday ordered a thorough investigation into a weekend military drone attack that killed at least 85 people, including women and children, in northern Kaduna State. Kaduna State is among several northwestern and north-central Nigerian states grappling with kidnappings and killings by armed groups. Through a spokesman, Tinubu, who is attending the COP28 climate summit in Dubai, called Sunday's incident a bombing mishap, which was very unfortunate, disturbing, and painful. A Nigerian army spokesman said before the drone strike, troops carrying out aerial patrols in search of armed gangs observed a group of people celebrating the annual Maulid Muslim holiday in the village of Tudunbiri and wrongly analyzed and misinterpreted their pattern of activities to be similar to that of bandits. Kaduna State Security and Home Affairs Commissioner Semli Arwin issued the official statement.
The Nigerian army was on a routine mission against terrorists. But unfortunately, some members of the Tudunbiri community were affected.
The United States, Canada, Kenya, and Kenya were among 63 countries to join a pledge Tuesday to deeply cut cooling-related emissions at the UN Climate Summit in Dubai. The pledge marks the world's first collective focus on climate warming emissions from cooling, which includes refrigeration for food and medicine and air conditioning. It commits countries to reduce by 2050 their cooling-related emissions by at least 68% compared to 2022 levels, along with a suite of other targets, including establishing minimum energy performance standards by 2030. The UNEP's executive director, Inger Andersen, said it could save $22 trillion, reduce peak load demand by 1.5 to 2 terawatts. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.
And more. VOA 1.